I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. J.L. Witterick joins me again. The author of My Mother's Secret has published a new book. It's actually a good thing. I'll get her to tell us about it, how it's her mantra in life, and that we all could use some advice as to how to look at life differently, to take the bad with a little more positive perspective. Jenny Witterick is a widely admired woman whose renown as an investor was well-known across the country and beyond. I'll ask her about what happened to her when her firm closed and how she viewed the challenges ahead. My Mother's Secret, which was published in the spring of 2013, was a bestseller around the world. J.L. Witterick is past president of Sky Investment Council and past president of the Toronto Society of Financial Analysts. The website for more is at itsactuallyagoodthing.com. That's all one word. The book is published by Archway. She joins me from Toronto. Please welcome back to the Plant Online program, Jenny Witterick. Ms. Witterick, good morning.
Thanks very much. I'm delighted to be on your show.
Thanks for joining us. So the winding down of Sky Investment Council, where did that put you exactly, in I guess the frame of mind, if you will?
Well, you know, it's funny how things happen in your life that you can't anticipate, and then it leads to you to something else that you couldn't possibly anticipate either, and that's kind of what happened with me, because when the company closed, people asked me, are you okay? Are you okay? Because all my life I've been really, you know, focused on achievement, and you know, it was something that had never happened to me in terms of not having a company to run or you know, clients to look after. And so I thought, well, I actually, it's a good thing. It's going to give me a chance to do something else that I've always wanted to do, and also maybe something that can matter or make a difference to people. And so when I thought about that some more, I thought, well, there's lots of things that you think are bad initially that are actually maybe not bad, that actually are good things in disguise. And when I started to think about what those things could be, it just kind of ballooned into this book, and that's what happened.
So have you always looked at life, the bad especially that happens in one's life, as a good thing? I mean, did that come to you recently in life, or had you always thought that since a kid, say?
No, I can't say I always thought of life that way. I think I struggled with trying to figure things out in terms of why some people seem to go through life with such ease and others kind of always swimming against the current. I couldn't figure that out. I wanted to be in the camp where things were easier or just, mm-hmm. you know, seemed peaceful. And I started to sort of think about things more in terms of what it was that allowed that to happen. And then I realized that a lot of it was just from within. It was just about how you thought about things. So, you know, we can't control what happens to us sometimes, you know, but we can always control, I believe, how we interpret the event. And your interpretation of what happens actually can change your entire experience. And so when I kind of realized that, I tried to live my life in a way where I interpret every experience that comes along, even if it isn't what I want. I try to interpret in a way that works for me. And then my fallback is always, you know, when something bad happens and I just can't find anything good about it at all, my fallback is, well, you know, at least this is going to make you a stronger person, perhaps. And that's what you take away from it. And so with a fallback like that, you almost can't lose. There's always, you know, something that can make you stronger, I suppose.
Now, did someone teach that to you, or did you just pick that up yourself?
Well, I looked at a lot of the teachings from actually Tony Robbins and Oprah, and also I observed people who were really seemed to be at peace and who were successful, and I observed how, you know, they interpreted events, and I thought to myself, if I want to become somebody that I admire, somebody I want to be, then how am I going to get there? And I realized that it was basically in every decision and every interpretation of an event that you know, that would shake me that way. And so, I think it's a journey, and I feel like I'm not quite there, but I'm a lot further there than I was in the past. And I really am feeling that I am more at peace than I've ever been with myself. And it isn't about the money, actually, because I feel exactly the same as when I didn't have any, and now, you know, I can get by fine, but really it was the full circle to know that it actually didn't matter at all.
So it seems to me that in writing a book like this, you want to help people, obviously, because you have an outlook at life that a lot of us could use. So was that really the impetus? Because that's the sense that I got in reading it. Mm-hmm. You really wanted to help people get through what they need to get through.
Yeah. Well, I realized that, most people aren't drop-dead gorgeous. Most people aren't, there's always something that comes along that challenges you. And so wouldn't it be cool if you could turn that around and find humor in it, or if you could say, actually, maybe it's not a bad thing. And so we put a whole bunch of things together that help people think about that. So, like, for example, I'm not a big person. And so I put, small, and then you flip it over and you say, well, airplane seats are bearable, right?
Yeah.
And because there's some truth in that.
Yeah.
It's funny, but it's also true. So things like that just, reshape how you think about something. And then it's like living in a cold country. Well, warm countries have a way to make money from your holidays.
Yeah.
And, and things like that. So I ended up, actually forming a band and writing music because I had half a broken heart, and then it helps you lose weight because you don't feel like eating much, although some people tell me that it's the opposite for them, and I get that. But then I say it's also good material if you're a songwriter or aspire to writing a best-selling novel. And then we talk about having written a best-selling novel but no song yet. And then I said, well, why not? Why not? And, so many times I think we don't go with the why not because we think, well, I haven't done that before, or I don't have the skills, or people tell you can't do it. And that's one of the things that I've always believed is that, why not? Why not just try it? And maybe you will fail, but as long as you can live with that, if you don't try, you really won't know, right?
Yeah. So what do you do if you send a really angry email to someone but it gets to someone, it gets to the wrong person, so...
Yeah, that's in the book, too, because I've done that. And
yep, I have.
And I think with all the emails that everybody writes, I'm sure, there's a few other people out there that have done that, too. And then I say, well, maybe it's a good thing, because a lot of times when you send an email in the heat of anger, you say things you wish you never had said. And when you cool down, you realize that would have been a mistake to send that. So when it goes to the wrong person, it kind of saves you. And then I also reference a historical event in which Abraham Lincoln, there was a general that said he was really mad at one of his officers who disobeyed an order, and he was writing him this huge sort of scathing letter, and Lincoln said, yeah, you should do that. And then the guy goes, well, who should I send it by? And then Lincoln goes, well, no, don't send it at all. You've already vented your anger. Just tear it up. And never send anything in anger because you will regret it later. And I think there's a lot of wisdom in that. So I try not to ever send anything when I'm angry. Maybe I write it out, and then I'll just delete it. Probably safer never to write it out to delete it. But, just because you'll think differently, when you cool down.
And if you've got back pain?
Well, it lets you go to the spa on a regular basis, right?
Ah, yes, exactly.
Yeah, and I have one, not a supermodel, because, how many of us are supermodels? Like on the cover of magazines, and I say to that, well, you can eat when you're hungry.
Exactly.
Which is a bonus, as I kind of like you like to eat.
So why do you think it is we don't, a lot of us in life, don't look at the bad things for the good that can come out of it? I mean, it seems that we get so stressed out about how daunting life is. We worry about everything. It drives us crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I read your book, and then it one realizes, well, it's not so bad after all, is it?
Yeah. It's funny because we gave the manuscript to people to read, and they wanted to keep the manuscript. They didn't want to give it back because they said when they read it, it just made them feel so much better, and it really, it's just words. It's just a way of thinking that it's kind of like a picture. If you frame it, a certain way, it looks really beautiful, and if you frame it, with a frame that isn't appropriate for that picture, it just doesn't bring out the beauty of that picture. And I think our minds are like that. I think our thoughts are like that. The picture is something that happens to you that you cannot control, perhaps, but the frame that you put around it can really change how that picture looks. And so what I'm trying to do here is share with you know, people that are reading it is a technique to frame a way of thinking so that you can use things that come along your way that maybe you wish you didn't come along, you know, the way they have, but actually use it for you rather than against you.
And so that you deal with things like pain, like fear, much better, don't you?
Yeah, that's right, because I think a lot of our fear in life comes from, you know, we're worried that something's going to happen and it's going to be bad and it's going to affect us in a negative way. And we worry about that and live with that pain and that fear for far longer than actually what the actual event would be. So in a way, we're actually punishing ourselves for way more than what the event would actually punish you for. And so I think if you believe that, you know, maybe you can't, this is a quote that I use from a guy called Jimmy Dean, but maybe you can't change the direction of the wind, but you can adjust your sails to always reach your destination. And that means that if you believe that you're in control of your own destiny, and I think that's why people are fearful, is they feel like they're a victim, is that they don't have any control about what happens over them. So if you can change that mindset to think, well, actually, I'm not a victim. I can control my sails. I can't control the wind, but I can manipulate my sails. And so I am still in control of what happens to me. I think that mindset frees you from fear.
And so, that's key there, because, and I'd like to dwell on that for just a sec, because mm-hmm. we have people around us that are negative, that possibly we don't like, but we need to, I mean, they need to be in our lives, because that's just, mm-hmm. you know, the way things are, whether it's a family or your work, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
it's the perspective of having to accept them for who they are and mm-hmm. just deal with it, I guess, in a positive
mm-hmm.
way, right?
Yeah, I think it's really tough to take responsibility for how somebody else behaves. So I don't go there, just because you really, you know, and so when somebody behaves badly towards me, I don't interpret it as something that I've done necessarily. I interpret it as that person's got some real hardships that they're dealing with, or they've got, you know, some things that they need to work out. Because I think that often the case, that is the case. You know, often when somebody treats you badly, it isn't because of what you've done or something that you've, you know, caused. A lot of times is that they're just in a bad state, and you happen to be there. And so you're the recipient of the outcome of the state that that person is in or issues that they're dealing with. And so when you think of it that way, then when somebody treats you badly, then you don't take ownership of it.
Yeah. And so you mentioned that the people have read the book already. And have given you feedback on
yeah.
it. I'm curious to know: have people's lives have they improved from reading it?
Well, the book is just coming out now, so we're doing this interview right at the beginning of this book. But what's amazing is that I've had people on my Facebook page, JL Witterick. I had people email me and say, "I really loved your last book, and I'm going through some tough times right now. I'm going to get your new book. Maybe it'll help me." And I actually send them a free book because I just thought, wow, you know, like that's incredible that people actually think that this book might help them. And I hope it does. But what it comes down to is that, you know, nobody wants to be unhappy. Like
uh-huh.
nobody wants to feel yucky, right?
Uh-huh.
It's just we don't know how to get out of it sometimes. And I'm not sure that the book is the entire solution at all, but it can reframe your thinking in terms of helping you realize that you are still in control of your destiny, and you can think about life, or you can think about what happened to you a little differently and transform that experience. Well, you know what? There's probably no greater thing that I could do if I was able to do that.
Now, this book really is for everyone, isn't it? Because, I mean, you talk in the book about having teenagers and you know, some playing video games perhaps longer than they should, but I'm assuming that younger people can get stuff out of this too, and do you find
yeah.
that maybe your own kids perhaps that they
well, you know, I think that this book actually is for everybody. It's you know, it's for people of all ages and gender and race, because, you know, we're all the same inside. We all have issues we're dealing with and challenges. And so I don't think it's unique to anyone. But, you know, specific examples in the book will be will be more meaningful to others, because I have something in here, having a long-distance relationship. And you turn it around and you say, well, you focus on what's important because there's no time to argue about the small stuff when you seldom get together. And so having a long-distance relationship is tough. But the good part is that you don't actually argue when you get together. And I have had a long-distance relationship, so I kind of, you know, realized that that was exactly what it was. And so there's, you know, the positives, and some of them not always offsetting the negatives, but at least, you know, giving a little bit of the other side of it, right? And then not a movie star. And it's a picture of you after a slight weight gain won't appear on the front page of People magazine. Right? So there's some truth. There's some humor. And really, there's some of everybody in here, because the experiences that I have had are not unique. And you said you read the book, Joe, and it felt familiar to you, and it feels familiar because we all have very similar experiences. My experiences are not unique. And when people read the book, they go, yeah, I kind of saw that too with my life.
And every day gets better, doesn't it?
Well, I think that I was on a panel about women in Bay Street, and people had to talk about what success was. Mm-hmm. And I define success much differently now than I did when I was younger. And my definition of success today is just being happy about, you know, your day. You don't have to be the CEO of a company, or, because how many seats are there for the CEO of companies anyway? And if everybody defined their success as having to reach this, you know, huge amount of position or money or power or whatever, you know, there's going to be a lot of unhappy people out there, right? And really, people that are CEOs of companies, they aren't really all that much happier than anybody else, because I've met them all. And I think success truly comes from within. If you feel happy and what you're doing, and you know, you're enjoying your life, and you know, that's success to me. So it's very different than what I used to think about it. So writing this book for me, and if people like it, to me that's success. If I can reach people, I can make them think a little differently and maybe pick their day up a bit. To me that's massive success.
But you do realize that there are a lot of people who gauge success a lot differently than you do. So how do you change their minds, perhaps? I mean that's a big challenge, don't you think?
Well, you know, I don't know that that I'm going to be able to change anybody's minds, and maybe it is a personal thing anyway. I just know that there was a time in my life when I had nothing, that I told my teacher that I didn't want to go on the class field trip, but it was because I didn't have the money to go on the field trip with the other kids, and I didn't want to ask my parents for that. So I had nothing, and today I have more abundance than I could ever have dreamed. And am I any happier today than I was back then? You know, I have certainty. Yeah, I have certainty of where my meal's going to come from, and clothing and all that stuff. But in terms of inside, in terms of who I am and whether I'm happier, actually, I don't see a difference. And I think that when, you know, when you're at peace with yourself and you're grateful for whatever it is that you have, that is true success and peace of mind.
So you mentioned earlier that you've started a band.
I did. I never thought I would. Doing a lot of things these days that I never thought I would, and that's one right at the top. Yeah, because I love music. I've always loved to sing. I when I was a kid, I used to sing nonstop. I think it drove my brother nuts. But I went into the financial world and the investment world, and not a lot of singing required in that position. But now that I'm not running a company anymore and I've written this book, I thought, why not give that a shot? And formed a band, very, very gifted musicians. We call our band Dream Peace Music. Written 8 songs. We're working on an album now. There is one song that relates to the book, because a song mm-hmm. called Actually Be a Good Thing, and it's all about, you know, basically lyrics taken directly from the book, and that will be our, you know, our lead song on the album. But when I wrote that one, I thought, how fun is that? And then wrote 7 more.
So it's called Actually a Good Thing, right?
Actually a Good Thing. You can hear it on the website or on the Facebook page. It's available there as well.
Well, we'll play the record out of this interview.
Okay,
so
thank
people,
you.
People
thank
can
you.
Listen to it. And you wrote the lyrics, I guess, right?
Yeah, I wrote the lyrics. I wrote the lyrics and the music to all the songs. People said, well, how'd you do that? Like, you've never written music before. You know what's so cool is that you can actually sing into your iPad and it will write the sheet music for you. There's an app for that.
Really?
Yeah, and then one of our songs is called Get an App for That, because I just thought that was so funny that that inspired, you know, the one of the songs. And then the final conclusion of the song is, of course, it goes like, want to kiss my girl, no after that, want to hold her tight, no after that, and so, you know, anything you want, there's an app for that, what you really need, no after that. And I wrote that song because it was a commentary on how technology drives everything, but at the end of the day, we still need connection, we still need to feel loved, we still need to have that sort of human experience, and that song was a commentary on that. So every song I write, I try to write it from the viewpoint of trying to share an idea or a view on how I'm seeing things.
So this writing thing for you, this turned out to be a good thing, hasn't it? I mean, the novel was a big success, and now this one, I suspect, will be just as successful.
You know, I did a book reading at schools, and I love reading at schools, because when you see kids' faces light up with joy because you're giving them a book, or I can't tell you how that makes me feel. It is the happiest, I say, moment of my career, of anything I've ever done, quite frankly. And one girl, I was just at a school last week, and she said, can you sign my hand? And I go, pardon me? Because I thought, like, I heard wrong. She goes, no, can you sign my hand? And I looked at the teacher, and I said, is that okay? She goes, yeah, it's okay. So I signed her hand. You know, I haven't signed somebody's hand since I was in grade 5. and so it was just so heartwarming. And I'm loving this, and I'm loving the fact that people are enjoying my words and my ideas, and that I get to share them with people, and thank you so much for having me on your show, because it's a great way for people to know about the book, so can't thank you enough as well.
Well, thank you. It's been nice talking again, Jen, and good luck with this book, and all the best.
Thanks so much.
The book is called It's Actually a Good Thing. It's from Archway Publishing. It's author J.L. Wittrich joined me on the line from Toronto in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta. We'll leave you now with the song that Jen's written, Actually a Good Thing.
Mercedes, good thing, actually a good thing. The dents and the scratches don't bother me, they don't bother me. A good thing, actually a good thing. 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 Ain't good looking, no Casanova. Good thing, actually a good thing. She loves me for my personality, my personality. A good thing, actually a good thing. Actually a good thing. Good thing, actually a good thing. Good thing, actually a good thing. Hey, rich.
Not reaching for the money. No supermodel.
Eat when you're hungry. Not an intellectual.
Yeah. You don't bore people at parties. Parties. Yay!
Good thing, actually a good thing. 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 Lose something, then find again. Good thing, actually a good thing. Makes you like it more than before. A good thing, actually a good thing. 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 Hey, rich!
Not reaching for the money, no supermodel.
Even when you're hungry, not an intellectual. British accent. Good thing, actually a good thing. Makes me sound smart, so smart. A good thing. Good
thing actually a good thing. Good thing actually a good thing. Good thing actually a good thing. Good thing actually a good thing. Good thing actually a good thing. Good thing actually a good thing. Good thing actually a good thing.